Kale Varn's precipice. Kale's reckoning. Kale Varn stepped off the ashen roads, the cold morning light dancing across his face like a restless spirit. He had walked these roads many times before, each step a reminder that in this world, one misstep could unravel an entire tapestry of balance. His hands hung loose at his sides, fingers drumming a slow beat against his thighs as he navigated the winding path through the sparse trees. He'd been sent to the estate of House Valen, a summons from their sovereign, or rather, her curator. Kale didn't pry into such matters. Loyalty and silence were his coin of exchange in this world of quiet politics. The weight of that loyalty pressed down on him as he approached the manor house. The gates were open, which was unusual, given House Valen's affinity for secrecy. Kale's eyes scanned the grounds, noting a change in the air, like an invisible current rippling across the lawns. He walked under the awning of the mansion's entrance, the sound of his boots muffled on the stone flags. Inside, he was greeted by the curator, her dark eyes pinched into a frown as she led him to a side room. "Kale Varn, I have matters that require your particular talents." Her voice was laced with a hint of apology, something he'd grown accustomed to hearing from those whose interests aligned with the Black Rose Order. He took his seat without comment, his eyes drawn to the stack of scrolls on the table between them. A note in the corner caught his eye, the broken writ. It was a notation used by those who sought to circumvent justice through creative means. Kale's stomach twisted into a slow knot as he recognized the handwriting. "A child, barely 8 winters old, has gone missing," the curator said, voice steady but with an undertone of strain. "The boy is the only heir to House Valen's legacy. Find him." The curator's words trailed off, and Kale's eyes locked onto hers, his mind racing with implications. The air in the room seemed to thicken, heavy with unspoken threats and obligations. "The broken writ," he repeated, the notation echoing in his thoughts like a warning bell. "Someone has left this marker on the child's belongings," the curator continued, her voice measured, each word chosen with care. "It suggests they may be trying to claim the boy as their own, or use him for leverage against House Valen." She handed Kale a small pouch containing the note and a few articles of clothing that reeked of smoke and desperation. He took them, feeling a shiver run down his spine. The broken writ was a tool of last resort, used by those who'd exhausted all other means to achieve their goals. Its presence implied a ruthless cunning, one he recognized all too well from his own past. Kale's gut tightened as he tucked the pouch into his belt, his mind racing with possible scenarios. "I'll need time to review the child's rooms," he said finally, breaking the silence. The curator nodded, her expression unreadable. "I've cleared access for you and your associate." The unspoken understanding hung between them like a challenge, one Kale accepted without hesitation. He rose from his seat, following the curator through the winding corridors of House Valen's estate. As they walked, the silence between them grew thicker, punctuated only by the soft clinking of fine crystal and the muted sounds of servants moving through the halls. They reached a door hidden behind a tapestry, its surface adorned with a small, intricately carved keyhole. "This is the child's nursery," the curator said, her voice low and tight-lipped. "You may review the area, but be discreet. House Valen's guests are sensitive to such matters." Kale nodded, already slipping the key into the lock and turning it with a soft click. He swung the door open, the hinges creaking softly as he stepped inside. The nursery was a space of soft pastels and delicate furnishings, a sanctuary designed to soothe the savage beast that was childhood. But Kale's gaze didn't linger on the toys or the books. It fell instead upon the small bed in the center of the room, its blankets rumpled as if hastily discarded. A faint scent clung to the bedding, acrid and sweet, like burning sugar. He recognized the smell from his own past, a memory he'd thought long buried. His fingers drifted to his face, tracing the line of his jaw as if searching for answers in the worn skin. The child's belongings were scattered about the room, a doll with one eye missing, a wooden puzzle on the floor with pieces still unsolved, and a small book with its pages torn out. Kale's eyes narrowed as he approached the bed, taking note of the disarray around him. It wasn't the chaos of a child in distress, it was something more calculated. He knelt beside the bed, his fingers running over the sheets, searching for anything that might have been missed. The fabric felt wrong under his touch, heavy with an unspoken weight, like the air in the room had grown thick with unseen threats. He stood, his gaze sweeping the nursery once more before moving to the door. "I need to review the child's schedule," he told the curator, who stood just outside. Her expression was inscrutable as she handed him a small leather-bound book. Kale took it, flipping through the pages with fingers that felt like ice. The entries were sparse, but one caught his eye: a dinner engagement at the estate's dining hall 3 nights prior, with a guest from House Elgoroth, one known for their cunning and ruthless ambition. The door creaked softly as he pushed it shut behind him, the silence within seeming to expand like a held breath. He turned back to the curator, his mind racing with possibilities. "I'll review the child's activities," he said finally, his voice measured, each word chosen with care. The curator nodded, her eyes never leaving his face as she stepped closer, her voice slow and urgent. "Kale Varn, I must warn you, those who have taken the child, they will not give him up easily." The curator's words hung in the air like a challenge, but Kale's attention was already focused on the task at hand. He took the schedule back from her, his eyes scanning the entries for any hint of irregularity or potential patterns that might lead him to the missing child. The dinner engagement with House Elgoroth's guest caught his eye again. He recalled rumors of their connections to dark markets and shadowy trade agreements. Perhaps this was more than just a simple kidnapping, perhaps it was an opportunity to upset the balance. Kale tucked the schedule into his belt, his fingers brushing against the pouch containing the note with the broken writ. His gut tightened at the memory of that symbol. It was a mark of desperation, of those who'd exhausted all other options and were willing to risk everything to achieve their goals. He wondered if the child's disappearance was merely a symptom of a larger disease, one that threatened to destabilize the delicate balance of power in this corner of the world. The curator led him through the winding corridors, their footsteps echoing off the stone walls as they made their way back to the entrance of the manor. The early morning sun cast long shadows across the floor, and for a moment, Kale felt like he was walking into a trap, his senses on high alert. He spotted a figure watching from the shadows near the grand staircase, a woman with piercing green eyes and raven-black hair, her gaze fixed intently on him. "Ah, Lyra," the curator said, nodding in greeting as they approached. "Kale Varn, this is our guest. She's been assisting us with certain matters." Lyra's eyes never left Kale's face, and he sensed a hidden current running beneath her calm demeanor, one that spoke of secrets kept and allegiances tested. As they reached the entrance, Kale felt a subtle shift in the air, like the first tremors of an earthquake. The woman, Lyra, seemed to be watching him with more than just curiosity, but he couldn't quite place what it was. "I'll need a list of everyone who attended that dinner 3 nights ago, he said, his eyes never leaving hers. "And any guests or visitors to the estate in the past fortnight." The curator nodded, her expression tight-lipped as she called out for one of her assistants. Lyra's gaze lingered on him, then dropped to the ground, a small, enigmatic smile playing on her lips. Kale felt a shiver run down his spine. He didn't know what game she was playing, but it seemed to be about something more than just finding a missing child. The curator's assistant arrived with a small, ornate box that she handed to Lyra without a word. Lyra took it with an air of familiarity, her fingers tracing the intricate patterns etched into its lid as she opened it, revealing a set of worn cards with letters and symbols on each one. Kale recognized the markings. They were from an old alphabet he'd studied during his time in the guild, used by those who communicated in secret. "You're familiar with these," Lyra said, her eyes flicking up to meet Kale's, the question implicit in her tone. He nodded curtly, his mind racing as he tried to piece together the connections between Lyra, the cards, and the missing child. The curator intervened before he could respond, ushering them toward a small parlor where tea was being served. As they walked, Kale's thoughts drifted back to the note in the pouch, the broken writ. He wondered if it was more than just a symbol of desperation. Perhaps it held more significance for those involved. The memory of his own involvement with the guild resurfaced, and he felt the familiar pang of guilt for the choices he'd made. He pushed it aside, refocusing on the task at hand. The parlor was a comfortable space filled with plush furniture and soft music, the air thick with the scent of jasmine tea. The curator introduced Lyra as their guest from House Elgoroth, and Kale's instincts screamed warning signals as he exchanged a measured bow with her. "I've arranged for a messenger to meet you at sundown," she said, her voice smooth as silk as she handed him a small vial of fine powder. "This contains the child's scent, one that should aid in your search." Kale accepted the vial with caution, recognizing the properties of the substance within. It was one used by trackers and bounty hunters to leave a temporary trail on their prey. He turned the container over in his hand, studying it for any hidden markings or traps before pocketing it. Lyra's eyes never left his face as she leaned back in her seat, her expression unreadable. The curator departed, leaving Kale alone with Lyra in the parlor. "Why are you here?" he asked, his voice low and direct, the tension between them growing thicker than the air in the room. The tea service had been cleared, leaving Lyra and Kale alone with a faint scent of jasmine lingering in the air. "You're not like the others," she said, her voice barely above a whisper, as if the words themselves were fragile things that might shatter at the slightest provocation. Kale's gaze narrowed, his eyes locked onto hers, searching for any hidden meaning behind her statement. "What do you mean?" he asked, his tone measured, his fingers drumming a slow rhythm on the armrest of his chair as he leaned back into its cushions. Lyra's eyes never wavered from his face, and for a moment, Kale felt like he was drowning in their depths, the piercing green a reminder that some truths were better left unspoken. "The others who've come before you," she said finally, her words dropping like a stone into still water. "They've all been eager to play the game of politics, to dance with the shadows and pretend at grandeur." Her gaze drifted away from his, focusing on some point beyond the window. "You seem different." Kale's gut tightened as he sensed the undertow pulling him deeper into the conversation, the threads of intrigue beginning to weave themselves into a tapestry that threatened to consume him whole. He pushed back against it, drawing his focus back to the task at hand. "Tell me about House Elgoroth," he said, his voice firm, as if the act of speaking it would anger him in reality. Lyra's eyes snapped back to his, a flicker of something like surprise crossing her face before she composed herself once more. "They're a family with interests in various aspects of our society," she began, her words measured, "each one chosen with care. We deal in trade agreements, commerce, and occasionally other matters." The word hung in the air between them, heavy with implications Kale couldn't quite grasp. He sensed that Lyra was dancing around a truth, one that he needed to uncover if he were to find the missing child and unravel the threads of this tangled web. As she spoke, his mind began to weave together the connections between House Elgoroth's dinner engagement and the note in his pouch, the broken writ. He recalled rumors of their involvement with shadowy trade agreements, deals made with those who operated on the fringes of society. It seemed that Lyra might be more than just a guest from House Elgoroth. She was a key to unlocking a much larger puzzle. "I see," he said finally, his eyes never leaving hers as he leaned forward in his chair, his elbows resting on his knees. "And what role do you play in all this?" Lyra's gaze faltered for an instant, a flicker of something like hesitation crossing her face before she regained her composure. She smiled again, the enigmatic smile that seemed to hold secrets and promises within its curves. Lyra's smile was a flame that flickered brightly, then died, leaving behind an ember of secrets and half-truths. Kale's instincts screamed at him to push further, but he held back, sensing that she'd reveal more if given the right encouragement. "I'm a diplomat," she said finally, her voice as smooth as silk, but with a thread of tension running beneath it like the hum of a harp string. She leaned forward, her eyes locked onto his, and for an instant, Kale felt himself drowning in their green depths once more. The curator returned with a tray bearing a single cup of tea, which she set before Lyra with a silent nod. The woman took it without breaking eye contact with Kale, her hand closing around the delicate china as if it were a lifeline. "I'll need to know more about this child," he said, his voice firm but measured, the weight of responsibility settling onto his shoulders like a cloak. Lyra's gaze faltered for an instant before she looked away, her eyes drifting back to the window where shadows danced like restless spirits. As Kale watched her, he sensed that there was more to this meeting than met the eye, a hidden current running beneath the surface, one that threatened to drag him down into its depths. He pushed the feeling aside, refocusing on the task at hand. "Tell me about the child," he repeated, his voice softer now, a thread of persuasion woven through it like a subtle spell. Lyra's eyes flickered back to his, and for an instant, Kale thought he saw something like fear. No, that was too strong, more like trepidation, perhaps, or uncertainty. "The child is a ward of House Elgoroth," she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper. "A gift from our allies to us, one that requires careful handling." Kale's gut tightened as he sensed the weight of responsibility bearing down on him, not just for the child, but for the web of intrigue that threatened to ensnare them all. He leaned forward once more, his eyes locked onto Lyra's. "What do you know about the note in my pouch?" The faint scent of jasmine still lingered in the air as Lyra's eyes never left his face, her pupils constricting ever so slightly as she replied, "I didn't put it there." Her voice was low, a gentle lapping at the edges of his concentration, but Kale's instincts screamed that she wasn't being entirely truthful. He leaned back in his chair, his mind racing with the implications. A hidden ally, or perhaps an enemy? The question swirled like a maelstrom, and he sought to anchor himself to the task at hand. "What do you know about the missing child?" he asked, his voice firm, though a thread of curiosity now wove itself into the fabric of his tone. Lyra's eyes flickered, her gaze drifting away from his as if seeking an escape from the weight of his scrutiny. The room seemed to hold its breath, the silence thickening between them like the first whispers of dawn breaking over a still lake. Kale's patience was a thin thread, stretched taut as he waited for Lyra to continue, her eyes never leaving the window where shadows danced in the fading light. "He's been missing for 3 days," she said finally, her voice measured, though a hint of something like desperation crept into her words. "We've received no ransom demands, but there have been whispers." Kale's gut twisted at the mention of whispers, his mind racing with the connections he'd begun to make: House Elgoroth's involvement in shadowy trade agreements, the note in his pouch, and now Lyra's hesitant words. He sensed that there was more to this case than met the eye, a hidden current running beneath the surface that threatened to drag him down into its depths. He pushed back against it, refocusing on the task at hand. "Whispers," he repeated, his voice firm, though a thread of unease now wove itself into the fabric of his tone. Lyra's eyes snapped back to his, her face pale in the fading light, and for an instant, Kale thought he saw something like fear. No, that was too strong, more like trepidation, perhaps, or uncertainty. "Yes," she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper. "There have been whispers about dark dealings in the lower quarters, a secret auction, one where children are bought and sold like cattle." The flicker of fear in Lyra's eyes, however fleeting, was enough to seal Kale's resolve. He stood, his chair scraping against the floor as he towered over her, his eyes locked onto hers. "I'll need your help to get to the bottom of this," he said, his voice firm but measured, each word chosen with care. Lyra's gaze never wavered, though a shiver ran down her neck as she set the cup of tea back on its saucer, the delicate china clinking softly against the plate. "I've already told you everything I can," she said, her voice steady, but Kale sensed the faint tremor beneath it. He leaned in closer, his face inches from hers, and for a moment, the air between them seemed to vibrate with tension. "There's more, Lyra," he whispered, his breath warm against her ear, making her skin prickle. He knew it was a risk, pushing her this close, but desperation clawed at him like a trapped animal, urging him to dig deeper. Lyra's eyes flickered, and for an instant, Kale saw the glimmer of something like panic in their depths before she composed herself once more. She took a deep breath, drawing in the scent of jasmine, which now seemed cloying against the fresh sweat on her skin. "I swear to you, I don't know what's going on," she said finally, her voice tight with conviction. Kale straightened, his eyes never leaving hers as he stepped back, his mind racing with the connections he'd begun to make Lyra's evasive answers, the note in his pouch, and now these whispers of a dark auction in the lower quarters. He sensed that she was hiding something, but what? And from whom? "Very well," he said finally, his voice firm, though a thread of doubt wove itself into the fabric of his tone. "I'll need you to take me to this auction."